Hour number two of that 590 show coming at you right now on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside John Giamatti Rudolph is somewhere sunbathing nude probably on the beaches of Florida. Just let that image sink in there for you, Rocchio. You got a big smile on your face. I know that makes you very happy. My next guest, she always makes me very happy because she is a fantastic follow on Twitter. She's hysterically funny. She's not afraid to put people or take people to task. You can follow her on Twitter at the Sager Bomb. She is the daughter of sports broadcasting legend Craig Sager and a contributor to Turner Sports. Casey Sager, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic, although I'd probably be enjoying these NBA finals a little bit better, or a little bit more, rather, if they weren't blowout after blowout.
Pretty underwhelming so far. I'm honestly already more excited about the offseason than I am for the rest of the series.
And that's kind of sad that it's kind of come to that, too, that we're now going to be more excited about hot stove NBA action than the actual finals. And this is the finals rematch that everybody was wanting to see as soon as Game 7 ended last year. Hey, Game 7, and it went down to pretty much like the last couple of plays. Yeah, let's see that all over again. And then you watch the game last night, and it's not like Cleveland particularly played awful. It's just that Golden State is just so much better than what they are.
Honestly, it's okay. Like, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the fact that I am not being blown away by this because I kind of expected that. I feel like we got so much closure last year with so many different, like, storylines, so many narratives, and there wasn't as much on the line this year. There was never going to be. I mean, obviously, Golden State, they don't have anything to prove, but, I mean, they're the only ones that really have anything that they're fighting for to that extent. Like, if they lose with Durant added to that team, then that's just embarrassing. But there's not even pressure on them. Like, there was so much more on the line, so much more up in the air last year. And, like, as improbable as all of it seemed at the time, like, by the end of it, like, them coming back from 3-1, it still almost, like, felt like destiny in a way. But, like, at this point, like, it's destiny. Like, the Warriors are going to win this year. It's okay. We'll move on. Like, the NBA involves faster than any other league. It's gonna, like, somebody's gonna find an answer for him. It'll be okay, but it is a bummer for sure.
What do you do though if you're LeBron, because you're the one who has a legacy on the line, you're the one who's trying to run down Michael Jordan, and you're the one who, even though, like, the way he's been playing in the playoffs is probably the best he's ever played in the playoffs, but he's, I mean, when you age, you go in decline quickly. What do you do if you're LeBron? Because you've gone to Dan Gilbert. I think it was right around January where he was saying that he wanted to improve the roster, and management was reluctant to do it because they're already so much over the salary cap, and then they're going to be, you know, paying the luxury tax and paying the repeater tax. This is Dan Gilbert's money that he's spending. It's not LeBron's. It's not LeBron's money that he's spending. It's his. It's LeBron's legacy, but it's Dan Gilbert's money. Who's going to win in the end?
You have to give him whatever he wants because he's right. I mean, he said all year from the very beginning that they needed another point guard. And Kyrie, like, has been pretty much non-existent in this series so far. Like, they need to have better options. He knows what he's doing. He knows what it's going to take for them to win. And, I mean, that stat line that he put up in the first half of that game, he can't do that for an entire game. Like, they had him so disappointed and the rest of them for not playing better for him. And he doesn't, like, I know that in a way, like, the legacy's on the line or whatever, but as somebody who doesn't necessarily need to always compare different players, like, I respect everything he's done. I don't think his legacy's on the line at all. Like, I don't think that even if they get swept, that doesn't take anything away from what they did last year. He's been so angsty this whole season. I don't know if I, like, really like or really dislike emo LeBron. But, like, everything, I don't know. In a way, it's almost like his own internal motivation, his own internal pressure that he puts on himself, like, came with more weight than the weight of ever having, like, all of that crap to prove last year. Like, there's just so much more pressure that he's putting on himself. I don't know what he's going to do. He doesn't have to stay in Cleveland. And that's why you have to pay him, because he needs to stay in Cleveland. Like, you have to, like, let him make those decisions.
I just don't see Dan Gilbert going, okay, yeah, you know what, let's go ahead and let's spend more, you know, tens of millions of my money on players that may or may not work out just for you to run down Michael Jordan. I'm just not sure that I could see Dan Gilbert doing that. I think Dan Gilbert, I think there's still maybe a little bit of bad blood between the two, even though they both kind of got what they wanted last year. Dan Gilbert got his title, and LeBron was able to bring one to Cleveland. But now that mission has been accomplished, I almost think that Dan Gilbert's kind of like satisfied when you know LeBron isn't.
Honestly, even if they'd won again this year, LeBron has such a good understanding of the game. Like, his basketball IQ is just insane anyway. And, like, he knows what needs to be done. And it's almost like last year, like, in a way, they figured out the puzzle. And, like, if they had won this year, like, if he just, like, figured out that puzzle, like, I would think that he would need to go find something else to do, too. I don't know that he would necessarily stay in Cleveland for the rest of his career. I think that there was going to be way too much backlash from the entire fan base if Dan Gilbert lets him walk, though. I don't know. I think you pretty much have to do whatever he wants to do, because there's no way that, like, they would lose the entire support of that city if they let LeBron walk.
Casey Sager joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow her on Twitter, and I suggest you do, at the Sager Bomb. However, do not follow her in real life. last night, that always gets the girls a laugh, Rocchio. It always does. It always works every time. Paul Pierce last night said after the game that Kevin Durant is now the best player in basketball. I just think that he was being a prisoner of the moment. Even though Durant has been sensational, I don't think he's better than what LeBron is.
Not one-on-one. That's just the system working for him. I mean, not that he's not a phenomenal player, and not that he's not the second-best player in the league, but it's LeBron's league. It's 100% LeBron's league. And it'd be interesting to see, like, what LeBron, like, the numbers that LeBron would be putting up if the rest of his team was working for him the way that the rest of the Warriors work for Durant.
I think the best team, I should say, that has the best case to maybe knock off Golden State next year is if Chris Paul goes to San Antonio and teams up with Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge. Do you think that team constructed with those three superstar players, do you think that would be enough to knock off Golden State next year?
I like it. I mean, obviously, Pop knows how to keep his players healthy. It would be awesome to see Chris Paul actually, like, healthy throughout an entire season. I have rooted against him for his entire career. I was at Georgia Tech when he was at Wake Forest, and I'm not particularly fond of the Clippers. And he's one of those guys that, like, I've loved to hate his entire career. Like, I don't actually dislike the guy, but I just like to root against him. It would be fun to actually have a chance to root for Chris Paul for once.
I just think the interesting thing, though, about Chris Paul, he's never been past the second round. And if you notice, he's got more State Farm commercials than he has playoff series wins. I have a feeling that's all going to come to end once he – what's that?
Don't drive me crazy.
But I could see all those coming to an end once he gets to San Antonio, because other than Tim Duncan being in a Edge shaving cream commercial when he first got into the NBA – I can't think of any Spurs player that has a national spot. I'm sure they do plenty locally in San Antonio, but they have nothing nationally. I can almost see where the organization looks at Chris Paul and says, you know what, do you want to be a commercial star or do you want to win an NBA title? Because that's the way we do things around here.
That's a good point. I'm actually, now I'm sitting here trying to think of any others. I really can't. I don't know. I don't know if it's something that they would necessarily, like, vocalize, but it's an entire culture that you buy into there. So I think that it's something he'd probably walk away from on his own.
But you could see him doing that, walking away from, like, the L.A. lifestyle and going to San Antonio saying, yeah, you know what, I just wanted to be, you know, just basketball full-time. I'm going to get away from Los Angeles and get away from the spotlight and go right into the middle of Texas.
I just always remember, like, I can't remember who asked him the question, but somebody asked Popovich, like, what it is specifically that he looks for in players that he's bringing into that system. And he says the one, like, unifying trait that all of his players have is that they're completely over themselves. And I think that that's something, like, that's a mindset that they have there. I think it's something that he would want to, like, be completely bought into. I don't know that it would be a distraction, but, like, if he's going to San Antonio, like, he's obviously serious. He wants to win a ring, but, like, if he's going to San Antonio, like, that's a, like, it's practically a cult in a good way.
Do you think a lot of these NBA players, even though, I mean, it was kind of played for last, but there was a little bit of tension and a very serious undertone to the exchange that Charles Barkley and Shaq had during the Eastern Conference Finals, where Shaq, you know, pointed out correctly that Charles Barkley had only been to the finals one time and, you know, and Barkley accused Shaq of riding Kobe's coattails and Dwayne Wade's coattails and even Rick Fox's coattails, which kind of made me chuckle. But, I mean, if you're a player, like let's say you're Carmelo Anthony or right now you're Kevin Durant or you're Chris Paul, and you see the way that Charles Barkley, an all-time great, is treated because he doesn't have that championship ring, does that make you, like, you know, maybe sacrifice some of the things that Chris Paul may not want to sacrifice in order to get that ring?
I think he would do pretty much anything at this point. And I think that, I don't know, it was frustrating watching the Clippers because they had, like, a good shot there for a minute, but it was some level of, like, hubris. Like, every year all the other teams in the West were sitting there, like, making changes and adapting and, like, trying, like, bringing in new guys. And, like, they just, like, sat there with their hands that they had been dealt, like, a few years before that. Like, that's ridiculous that they didn't think that they needed to make any major moves. Like, they saw what Golden State did. And, like, I think they're also one of those teams that was, like, 100% built just to beat the Spurs, because that's who was dominant when they were constructed. And they just, like, they were treading water for so long, I would think that, like, getting out of that, like, there's got to be, like, a new level of focus there and, like, a new level of energy.
Let's get to the conversation that you and I were talking about through Twitter last night, and that's Clay.
Right.
That's Clay Travis of OutKickTheCoverage.com, basically accusing LeBron James, not really accusing him, but just throwing it out there that maybe LeBron was making up a whole story about his house being vandalized with some racist graffiti, saying that, you know, he's never seen a picture of it, so therefore it must not have happened. I think what Clay Travis is trying to do is that he kind of sees this white, angry male audience that's out there that hates ESPN because they're too liberal, and they back.
I'm glad you said that first.
And they back people like, you know, Kurt Schilling, who accused Adam Jones of making up the whole thing when he was hearing racist taunts when he was in Boston. I think Clay sees that audience and knows, yeah, you know what? I'm going to get those guys on my side. I'm going to die on that hill. So let me lob this grenade out there and see what happens.
I honestly, like, looking at, like, you said that to me, and I had been working all day, and I'm like, oh, great. Like, what did he do? What fresh hell is this, like, this time? And as soon as he told me what he had done, like, I set down my phone and, like, walked away from it for a minute, because it's just, like, and I pull up my phone, I pull up Twitter, and, of course, he's the number one trending topic. But, hey, 2 hours later, he wasn't even on the list anymore. Like, he seriously stole another little piece of whatever is left of his soul to trend on Twitter for, like, 2 hours, basically.
That's basically,
like,
what he did.
How,
I mean,
is that worth it?
Did he ever sit down and go, okay, what does LeBron James gain from making the story up?
Exactly.
Like, what does he gain?
Like,
I mean,
LeBron handled that incredibly well.
I thought he did too.
Watching him speak, like, he didn't want to be talking about that. He doesn't want to be focusing on anything other than these finals right now. Like, why on earth would he make that up? What in his entire, like, history, like, as a public figure, has he ever done that would make you think that he would make something like that up? And even if you think that, like, is a possibility, like, why is that your – why do you think that that's your job to actually, like, say something? Like, why – everything that he does, like, when he sat there and tweeted when DeMarcus Cousins was drafted, that within 5 years he's going to get arrested.
Yeah.
Like, why does he think that that's his job? Why does he think that he's the guy who needs to be doing that?
I think right
it's
now
not-
we
– journalism, and it's not even sports, and yet we're going to sit here and call him a sports journalist. We're going to sit here and ask Stephen A. Smith a million times every day why he still has a job, but, like, for some reason, nothing ever happens to Clay Travis when he opens his mouth.
That's a good point. And I, like I said, I just think that he's just trying to win over that whole there's no such thing as racism.
Well, yeah,
there's,
I mean,
only there's only reverse racism. I think he's just trying to win over that crowd. I think he's done it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was something I saw earlier today. Apparently someone had gone outside his house, like, in his hometown, and put a bunch of, like, fake vandalized it. They put a bunch of signs out in his yard that said, like, humanitarian and
yeah,
role model. Like, because they're going to sit there and, like, reduce him to that horrible word. Like, there are other labels that you could put on him, too. And I thought it was beautiful. And you sit there and look at the comments, and it's all these people like, oh, well, of course there's a picture of this. And I bet he made this up, too. And then you click on their profiles, and they're the same people that are sitting there screaming fake news about everything else. But for some reason, they're fully on board to, like, buy into whatever Clay Travis says.
And despite
for some reason, he's completely believable and credible, but
not LeBron.
And despite the fact that you have a fairly credible journalist in J.A. Donde step up and say, listen, I've seen a picture of what was there, LeBron just didn't want that getting out, just bank it for Clay Travis to say, "Oh, what, I'm supposed to believe some anchor from you know, MSESPN or whatever the hell he calls it?"
And
that's
the only way he's going to get out of that one. Basically, yeah. And Jay Adande, I mean, now he's a professor at Northwestern. So if that has no credibility, then I don't know what does.
It's just, I resent him so much in a way. Like, and I shouldn't even give him that kind of a reaction because I know that that's all he wants. Like, that's all he's trying to do. But I resent him for taking, like, the one thing that's supposed to be, like, pure and fun. And, like, yeah, we take it too seriously sometimes. But, like, sports are still, like, this is supposed to be fun. If you're not having fun with it, like, you're not doing it right. You're not enjoying it the right way. And he takes something that's supposed to just, like, unite everybody behind something that's just fun. And he completely takes all of the fun out of it. And he sat there, like, when Pat McKinley was drafted by the Falcons. Like, I've grown up a Chiefs fan, but, like, this is probably the closest I'm going to be in a Falcons fan is watching this guy. Like, he's freaking awesome, like, dropping F-bombs and holding a picture of his adorable grandmother. And Clay Travis, for some reason, thought that he needed to start tweeting about how inappropriate it was for this kid to, like, curse while holding a picture of his grandmother. And then starts mocking the grandmother in the picture. Like, what grown adult takes a solo picture by themselves? Like, did he have to buy the picture frame a ticket? Like, did he have to take it through a metal detector? Like, why... What is that? Like, why is that? Why does he think that that's, like, in his job description to do? Like, I would tell him to, like, stick to sports, but I don't think he has a place here either.
And a side note on Tre'Karris McKinley, he just dropped a video of his reaction when he checked his bank account after he got his first check from the Falcons. I don't know how you can not love this guy. This guy is about as lovable as there is an NFL player in the league right now.
I have to check that out. It's got to be fun.
I'm getting a jersey.
I think Clay Travis ought to check out whether or not P.K. Subban really does have bad breath. I think that'd be the next.
That seems like something he'd be all over.
that should be something else that he should tackle. I mean, they're both in Nashville. Why not just jaunt on over to the Bridgestone Arena and check it out?
See, I didn't even know that he was in Nashville because honestly, like, the only time I ever even pay attention to him is when he says something completely stupid like this. I don't even know, like, what he does the rest of the time. I'm sure it's not great, though.
Well, I know he has a podcast on called I'll Kick the Coverage. I know he has that. And he used to do, like, gambling lines on college football on Fox.
All right, cool.
Well, Casey...
He's the worst. Like, he's the worst.
Casey, it's good hearing you again, my friend. Don't let Clay Travis get to you. Don't let the internet. Don't let the Twitter trolls get to you. You get too worked up by him all the time.
She doesn't in any way, shape, or form let him get to her. She's having a debate with these people.
I haven't been, like, going to, like, the driving range lately, or, like, I need to go to a batting cage. Like, I just need to go, like, hit the crap out of something, but, like, I haven't been able to do that lately. So it's, like, it's a way of, like, I don't know, relieving stress, I guess.
Getting a lot of workout on that blocking finger.
There you go.
Like, I wouldn't do it if it made me miserable.
That's a good point. All right, Casey, good hearing you again, my friend, and we will hope to have you on again soon. Enjoy the rest of the finals.
All right, have a good one.
That is Casey Sager, contributor to Turner Sports. You can follow her on Twitter at TheSagerBomb, and I heavily suggest that you do. She is extraordinarily funny on Twitter. KFNS is hosting a live version of the number one professional wrestling podcast in the world, Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, the former right-hand man to WWE CEO Vince McMahon. The show will take place at South Broadway Athletic Club from 2 to 4 p.m. before WWE's Money in the Bank at Scottrade Center on June 18th. VIP and general admission tickets are available at notarib.com. Let's take a commercial break. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Get off on the bridge, y'all. Tell my homies look alive. Cause it's hard to survive when you're living in a concrete jungle and these girls keep